Hello and welcome. Today we are going to be reading and talking about Psalm 112. If you have your Bibles, please turn there with me. I will be reading out of the New Living Translation version. Verse 1 begins, "Praise the Lord! How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger and they will slink away, their hopes thwarted." This psalm begins by praising God, by boasting and worshiping and glorifying Him as Jehovah, the one true and only God. That is why we praise Him. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. When we reverence, respect, worship, and honor the Lord, not only with our voices, but with our lives, living out our faith and love for Him every day, His blessings pour into our lives an abundance of happiness and joy, regardless of what we encounter or go through in our lives. Sure, every day we will make mistakes and sin, but we always know we can go back to our Lord, where we can repent, praise, and worship our Lord again. Verse 2 and 3 says, "Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever." In other words, there are blessings that come not only to us when we obey God, but to our offspring, our children, our families as well. Every time you live out your faith and obey God's word, you are leaving and storing up a spiritual inheritance for your loved ones, for your family members. God's spiritual riches and His treasures and wealth, ones that will last throughout eternity and forever. If your children were raised and taught the word of God, and maybe perhaps have wandered into the world and away from God, continue to pray and trust God and hold on to these scriptures and these promises that God has given you in these verses. You see, God's word never returns to Him void, but it will always accomplish what He pleases and it will prosper wherever He sends it. And pray that God would send those memories of the words that you've spoken into the lives of your children back to their minds, back to their memories, and that God would send messengers, godly messengers to them, and return them back to the Lord and back to their families as well. Verse 4 says, "Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous." Verse 5 says, "Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered." You see, these verses 4 and 5 are so comforting and so compelling. They remind us that when we go through hard and difficult and dark times, that God's marvelous light will begin to shine in our darkness upon us, upon the situation that we are going through. You see, no darkness, no trial or circumstance will overtake you because you belong to God. He always provides for you in your time of need. God comforts you in all your troubles. He brings His light into the darkness that you are in. Why does He do all that for you? Because He loves you and He wants you to extend that same kind of love, comfort, and compassion to others when they are troubled, when they are in darkness and the hardships that they are going through. God wants you to be that same comfort to them as He was to you in the time of your darkness. Bring light into their darkness. Let Jesus, the light of the world, shine to them, in them, through them, because of you. Proverbs 22:9 says, "Blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor." Now, you can give back to God by being generous to others, by encouraging them with God's word, feeding them the word of God, and also providing them a, not just a spiritual meal, but a physical one as well. If they are hungry, give them a meal. Make them a home-cooked meal or buy them one. Visit them in the hospital if they are sick. Help them where there is a need in their life and the situation that they are in. You see, we don't need to hoard our spiritual, financial, and physical blessings, but God wants us to share them and to help those in need because it shows the Lord how much we really do love Him by extending a helping hand to others. Verse 7 and 8 say, "They do not fear bad news because they are confidently trusting the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly." In other words, whatever kind of news we receive, maybe you get a bad diagnosis from a doctor. That's a bad health report. Maybe it's cancer, whatever it is. Maybe you're experiencing a financial loss, a loss of a job. Maybe it's the death of a loved one. Maybe you're fearing this whole bad news of all that is going on with this coronavirus. Whatever the bad news is that may come our way, we don't need to fear because our trust is in the one and only God, the Lord Jehovah. Verse 8 says, "They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly." You see, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that makes you a soldier in God's army. The first step toward winning the battle in claiming your victory, your inheritance, is to let God encourage you, and then you can encourage others. You can have confidence and face any attack of the enemy, any foe that comes your way, fearlessly, because your Father God, the Lord of Heaven's armies, will win these battles for you. Amen? Verse 9 says, "They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor." You see, this is the third time, ladies, that the word generous is mentioned in this chapter. So the Lord is really wanting us to get this. He doesn't want us to be stingy and selfish, because when we do, we lose everything. When we hold on to something so tightly and don't let go, God will pry our hands open so that it no longer controls us. Oftentimes, the very thing that we're holding on to is the very thing that's keeping us trapped. It could be money, it could be material possessions, it could be whatever it is. God wants you to relinquish, to surrender it to Him, to give it back to Him so that it no longer becomes an idol in our lives. You see, sometimes we hold on to things because we're afraid to let them go, because we cherish them more than we cherish God our Father, and we cherish those other things more than Him. That is idolatry and adultery against our God, since we are the bride of Christ. Think about how that makes Him feel. Heartbroken. If we really let go, then we are allowing God to move in and give us more. Let go and let God move in your lives, ladies. Now let's talk about this for a moment. If you are having a really hard time of letting go of certain things in your life and giving them to God, it could be a bad habit, an addiction, a compulsion, whatever it is. Maybe you're just being selfish and not wanting to share your blessings with others. Maybe you're feeling fearful and not wanting to share because you're not sure if you're going to have enough in your time of need. I want you to read 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16 on your own. Really, just go before God and say, "Lord, I really want you to speak to me through these verses." I'm going to go ahead and just summarize what is going on. These verses talk about how there was a severe famine and drought in the land. The Lord told the prophet Elijah to go to a certain village so he can get water and a meal. As he enters into the village, he sees this widow gathering sticks. I picture her as he walks into the village as a woman who is just slumped over and weary down by life's just hard trials and situations that she's going through. And Elijah asks her to give him a cup of water. As she's going to get the sticks, she gets the water for him. And at the same time, he asks her to bring him some bread. She tells him, "I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have even a biscuit to give you. All I have left in my home is a handful of flour and a little cooking oil at the bottom of my jar to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die." You see, what she was doing is she was swearing by the God of the heavens and the earth, the Lord Almighty as we know him. She was swearing by the God that she knew the prophet knew. She didn't know the Lord as her Savior, as Elijah did. But after this whole situation, this famine that she is going through, the circumstance, she too will come to know Jesus as her Lord and her Savior. You see, oftentimes God allows difficult situations in our life for us to surrender our lives to him. Not to hurt us, not to belittle us, but to bring us to the saving knowledge of who he is as our Lord and Savior, so that he can care for us. He doesn't want us to perish, but he wants us to have everlasting life with him, where he can provide for us as our Father, as his children. The widow was telling Elijah why she couldn't give him what he was asking of her. She was showing him and telling him, "This is all I have. We're going to die because I don't have any more water. I don't have any more oil or flour to give you. This is all I have. This is it. We're going to die. Me and my son are going to die." And Elijah tells her, "Don't be afraid. Go ahead and prepare the meal as you said, and make me a little bread for me first." Notice he said first, not last, "before you prepare the meal for you and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says to you. There will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends his rain and the crops grow again." So this woman does just as Elijah said. She went and she baked her meal for the prophet first, and then her and her son ate. And it says, for many days afterward, just as the Lord had promised, they were able to eat. Now think about this for a moment. This woman must have thought to herself, "I only have enough for me and my son, and you want me to feed you too? I can't even feed my family, our last meal together before we die." You see, fear and the circumstances that she was going through had her believe this. She knew in her heart she had no means of providing for her and her son, no money, no resources, and there wasn't anywhere to purchase any more food. Remember, there was a famine and a drought in the land? So she was in the natural realm looking at everything as impossible. There was no one to care for her and provide for her and her son. The fear and the mental turmoil she was in must have been a horrific one, knowing that both of their lives was near. But just then, when she was beside herself, she encounters the prophet Elijah. Isn't it amazing how the Lord always, always shows up at just the right moment in our lives, when we are at our weakest and our bleakest? The widow thought she was going to die physically, but Elijah came to bring her spiritual renewal and life and hope. Isn't it interesting how Elijah asks her for a drink of water and for some bread? You see, he knew there was nothing in this world, no earthly substance that could quench her thirst or satisfy the hunger in her soul. You see, only Jesus can. Jesus is the living water, and he is the bread of life. John 6, verse 35 says, "Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be thirsty again. Whoever believes in me will never thirst." I want you for a moment to imagine if you were this widowed woman that Elijah asks for a piece of bread. And he says, "Feed me first, and then feed you and your family afterwards." Would you make excuses not to give him something to eat? "But Lord, I only have this much. It's not even enough to feed all of us." But notice what Elijah tells her. Don't be afraid. And he tells us that as well. How many times are we afraid of giving, even if it's our tiniest, our meagerness, to someone in need? God tells us the same thing. Give me first, whether it's of your time, your resources, your material possessions, whatever it is, I will multiply it exponentially. Don't hold back from God right now. The very thing you are fearing of losing, He wants you to give Him so He can give you more, far more abundantly, more than you could ever, ever imagine. If the widow would have never given a meal to Elijah, she would have never experienced the miracle that God wanted to give her. We don't give to get, but God loves to give when we give. Billy Graham stated that the cure for greed is giving. Every time we're tempted to cling to money or material possessions, we should instead look for opportunities to be more generous. Watch God open His storehouses of blessings when you do. It's in Malachi 3:10. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, "You must decide in your own hearts how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully." This word cheerful means one who is happy, who is optimistic, who is jolly and merry as they are giving to somebody in need. What a privilege to be able to serve God by being able to serve others for Him. Now more so than ever before, during this whole coronavirus pandemic, people need to hear encouraging words that will uplift their spirit. Share your testimony and the healing power and the word of Jesus. Share a meal with them. Share whatever you can to help them see the light during this dark and difficult time. Let them see Jesus in you. Amen? Maybe you are listening today and you are in a spiritual and emotional famine and drought. You may be feeling like you are at the lowest point in life and you have nothing left mentally, emotionally, and financially. Perhaps you're at the end of your natural resources. Things you depended on are almost gone, and fear has come upon you, and you're not sure what you're going to do or where your next meal is coming from. Please know that Jesus is here for you, and so are we, the body of Christ. God has given you the opportunity today to receive His living water and bread of life. That's eternal life. Today can be the high point, the pivotal moment in your life where Jesus Christ wants you to come to know Him as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you that opportunity right now to place your faith in Jesus Christ, where you will never have to thirst or hunger again. Maybe you're here today and have already placed your faith in Jesus Christ, but somewhere along your journey with Him, you've been drawn back to the pursuits of the world, material things, or maybe the world has come between you and God. I ask you now to give them up and come back home to Jesus. All you have to do is admit you are a sinner. Turn from sin, repent. Turn from your selfish and worldly ways. Believe that Jesus Christ died for you and rose again. Invite Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and your Savior. So if you want to do this, let's bow your heads with me right now in prayer. And please repeat this prayer with me. Dear God, I know I am a sinner, and I want and need your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. Please wash me clean from all my sin, shame, guilt, and pain. I invite you now to become the Lord over my life and to live and reign in my heart from this day forward. Please send your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have said this prayer and have invited Jesus to be your Savior, we celebrate with you and we welcome you to the family of God. We also want you to know that we are here for you, and we are here to pray with you, to encourage you, and help you in your spiritual walk with Jesus. Thank you for tuning in and listening to our Nuggets of Pearls from God's Word. May you have a wonderful and blessed Holy Week. Until next time, take care and God bless you.